Good morning. Today is Sunday, May 31st, and this is the day that I have mentioned a few times we would be observing Pentecost. So the title of the sermon today is The Day of Pentecost, and I'd like to begin by clarifying the math on how we determine when Pentecost is. 40 days passed between the resurrection on Easter Sunday and what we call the day of ascension. Jesus was seen by his followers. He performed those irrefutable proofs that we talked about. He ate food. He drank liquid. People saw him and spoke to him and could touch his physical resurrected body, all of those things occurred over a 40-day period of time. When Jesus ascended, he told his followers to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. So between Easter and the day of Pentecost is 50 days, not 40 days. And I may have sort of muddled that and led to confusion. Between Easter and the day of Jesus' ascension is 40 days. And then they waited together in the upper room. Last week we described, or 2 weeks ago, we described the upper room prayer meeting. No, that was last week. I get confused. That's sort of in the middle of Acts chapter 1. We split Acts chapter 1 into two. I had a sermon on the ascension. Last week we described that upper room prayer meeting and then Matthias being chosen as an apostle. So those things happen in the period of time between Jesus ascending and the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Our Easter celebration very closely coincides with Passover on the Jewish calendar. And so the first century church celebrated Pentecost, a word that literally means 50. If you look at the P-E-N-T, if you think about a pentagram having five sides or the Pentagon being a building with five sides, Pentecost is literally a word that we've transliterated from the Greek language, and it does refer to the fact that it's 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. So, bearing those thoughts in mind, turn with us to Acts chapter 2. We'll begin Acts chapter 2 at the first verse, and we'll read the first 21 verses. I'm actually going to begin Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, and then, Lord willing, finish Acts chapter 2 and wrap that up next week. I'm not going to keep going. It's only been a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years, since we did an intensive on the first several chapters of the book of Acts. We started here, right where we are now, and went verse by verse through the first several chapters. We described the early history of the Christian church, and I'm not going to do all of that again this year. But on this day of Pentecost, we want to look at the arrival of the Holy Spirit, which fulfilled the promise Jesus had spoken of. So without saying any more, let's read these first 21 verses, and then we'll go back and bite off bits that are small enough for us to chew, figuratively speaking. So Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, that's not the end of Peter's sermon. He's just about to get going good. But we're going to take a break there and come back next week and continue reading Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had talked about it during his earthly ministry. I've already mentioned this morning, the last thing he said before he ascended into heaven was stay and wait for the promise. He encouraged his followers in the last days leading up to his arrest and trial before the crucifixion that these things must happen this way. This was God's plan. He said, "I must leave so that the Comforter can come." And he explained to his followers, to the disciples, that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would lead them into understanding. There were many things he spoke of that the disciples did not truly understand until they could see it through Holy Spirit eyes. He was their teacher and their guide. Things that Jesus had explained during his teaching made sense once they received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gave them understanding. That's what I said a few weeks ago. I don't remember what week, I don't remember what sermon, but recently I said that any person can read the Bible and understand some of it. You can certainly read the stories that are narrative in nature, but to truly understand what God is saying in His Word, it must be revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. You can't understand all of it. You don't really get it without the Holy Spirit gives us understanding, and that's what Jesus said was going to happen. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, when it's 50 days since the resurrection, they're all with one accord in one place. They were all together in one place. Imagine that. Now, Acts chapter 1 gave us more details about who they all were. There were men, there were women, they were the apostles, they were family members of Jesus. Acts chapter 1 tells us there were about 120 people in all, and they prayed together daily. They stayed together in an upper room there in Jerusalem as Jesus instructed and waited for the promise. Men, women, family members of Jesus, Mary's mother was there, the 11 apostles, they appointed Matthias to take the place of Judas. That was the portion of Acts chapter 1 that we read last week. There's 120 people, or approximately that amount, there in the upper room. They were together in one mind and in one accord. That's difficult, perhaps, for us to imagine, but it's not a cross-section of all of society. It's not members gathered together from around the world, from different nations, from different cultures, with different ideologies. It was 120 people that believed Jesus was the Son of God. These were believers. that listened to Jesus' words, that followed his commandments, that were there because they believed Jesus was who he says he was and could do the things that he promised to do. So maybe it's not that unlikely. But even today, if we assembled 120 church members for very long, you would begin to find differences of opinion and perhaps some sharply divided views. These 120 were together in one accord. They met in one place. They prayed daily. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. That sound came from heaven. That's important to note. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. It appeared. They could actually see God's presence that has appeared to them as tongues of fire and set on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That is our second point. I know we don't have a printed outline and we're not filling in the blanks on the back of the bulletin as we go through, but they were all together in one place is the first point of note. And then the second important thing we need to notice this morning is they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There were men and there were women. It was the family members of Jesus. It was Jesus' mother. It's not just the handpicked apostles, but it was everyone in the house. Because God is not a respecter of persons. I'm trying to preach from the words of Scripture this morning without getting sidetracked by news and events of the day. But right now, if I say news and events of the day, everyone knows exactly what I mean. What believers need to do is pray for one another, pray for the world that we are in but not of. We need to show Christ, and we need to be Christ-like. And I say that to all believers everywhere. These 120 thereabout were all filled with the Holy Spirit that spoke through the Old Testament prophets, and Peter quotes from Joel as he begins his sermon. And as we continue next week, he'll quote several different passages from the Psalms written by David. The Holy Spirit these were filled with was the same Holy Spirit that spoke through the Old Testament prophets. The Spirit that filled Mary and Elizabeth when we looked at Luke chapter 1 just a few weeks ago. The same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave is the same Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in the hearts of every believer. And that's important to remember. When we look at the news and realize we live in a world that is scary and that nothing is certain, when you sit down and make a list of everything that could kill you, just remember that we do not fear the one that can only kill the body. The one that we need to fear is the one that can divide the body from the soul from the spirit, can divide bone from marrow, and that is God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. The same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave lives in us. We believe if we die with Christ, we will likewise be raised with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I know that you're either listening to the cassette tape or you're listening online. Maybe you've got your earbuds in and getting in your steps for the day, but just know that I'm waving my arms and flailing my hands just like I would if the house was full, because I can't talk without moving. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Romans 8, chapter 1. These 120 or so were filled with that Spirit. Peter is going to preach the very first ever Christian sermon. I was trying not to say that today and show all my cards, save something for next week. But Peter is going to preach the very first time that what people need to put their faith, hope, and trust in is that Jesus was dead, but then he was resurrected. He's going to preach for the very first time that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that God raised him up. It's this Holy Spirit now speaking through Peter on the day of Pentecost and filling this whole house of believers. These were the first 120, but it didn't stay 120 for long. Peter's going to preach his sermon and 3,000 are going to be saved just on that one day. And then immediately they're all going to go back where they came from. I read that long list of ancient names of countries and geography that's hard to say, and some of those words are archaic now. We know what Egypt is. We know where Libya is. Mesopotamia is that area of the Middle East where Africa and Asia and Europe all join together. Sort of a point that everything important throughout history, from the Garden of Eden to the Battle of Armageddon and everything in between, sort of turns around. It's the focal point of history, and that's a thing that God did. They're going to take the message that salvation comes through Jesus Christ and that his shed blood on the cross is what lets us approach God's presence. And they're going to carry it from Jerusalem back to all of these other parts of the world. What did Luke write there in Acts chapter 2? The multitude came together. Everyone heard in their own language. Before that, devout men from every nation under heaven. They're going to hear the gospel preached. They're going to receive it. They're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and then they're going to take it back with them. They're going to take it to all those nations that I read through. They're going to take it to Europe and Africa and Asia, and that was the world they knew about at that time. When Luke wrote every nation under heaven, he meant all the nations on those three continents because that was all the world that they were aware of. Others laughed and mocked and said, these men are full of new wine. Peter said, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, so obviously they're not drunk. Peter didn't say, look, we're Baptist, we don't drink, but that's a different sermon for a different day. What he said was, it's too early in the morning. He says, what's really going on is these people are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And he quotes from Joel. They were all together to celebrate the Passover. So they would have been familiar with all of the Old Testament prophets that Peter could draw from. And he says, Joel wrote about this day. And not just that day, but these times that we live in. The last days. God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. And in verse 21, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is the New Testament church age that we live in now. We live in that time, or we live in the age of grace, where any person that hears the gospel can respond to it and not just receive salvation, but be filled with that same Holy Spirit that Paul is writing about in Romans chapter 8. And In Galatians, when he says, I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. It's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they spoke in different tongues the mighty or the wonderful works of God. On this day of Pentecost, it's less important that they were speaking in tongues. That was so that everyone that was there could hear and understand. What were they speaking? They were giving testimony to the wonderful works of God. And that's what's important. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the gospel. We go out and we share the gospel message. And we can do that standing in the pulpit. We can do that standing in a great auditorium. We can do that on the street corner. You can do that on the telephone, one individual to another. You can do that sitting at a small table in a coffee shop over coffee and a donut. We can share the gospel in a public format with hundreds or thousands of people at a time. Every believer should at least be able to sit down with one other person and say, this is what Jesus did for me. This is why I'm a believer. We don't have to expound all of Scripture or quote every Old Testament prophet just to be able to say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I know that it's real because this is the change that happened in my life, and we can share a personal testimony with one or a few individuals at a time. When we share the gospel message, when we share good news, and that's that Christ died so that we can live. Christ died for our sins. He took the due penalty for our transgression, Isaiah 53 says. When we share that good news, the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to people's hearts in the still small voice that convicts of sin. What we call our conscience is a lot of times the Holy Spirit working on the mind and the heart until either the person yields to that or rejects it and refuses so many times they become calloused and hard of heart, and the Holy Spirit's urging no longer bothers them. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the gospel. We share the gospel message, and the Holy Spirit is in the world at work drawing people to Jesus. That's what he does. The Spirit draws people to Jesus, convicts men and women of sin, points to Jesus Christ, and what does Jesus do? Jesus makes it possible to cross that great gulf and divide between us and God and come into God's presence. That's the relationship of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is at work drawing people to Jesus. Jesus is continually going into God the Father's presence, making intercession for sinners. He's there praying for us. Hebrews says he's our great high priest that has a better sacrifice to offer than the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and turtle doves. He's not like Aaron and his sons or any other high priest that has to ask forgiveness of his own sins before he can pray for another. Jesus is a better high priest than the Levitical priests in the Old Testament. He offers a more excellent sacrifice, that being his own blood shed for the remission of sins. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the gospel and draws people to Jesus. Jesus makes it possible for us to come into God the Father's presence. God the Father loves you. Jesus, his Son, loves you. Sometimes we don't think of the Holy Spirit as being a person, but he is described throughout the Bible as the third person of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is how God makes himself manifest, how he reveals himself to us. And what we are invited to do is come directly into the presence of the Godhead. And as we reach this point in the Bible narrative, the three parts of the Trinity have been identified and are at work, and we enter the age of grace or the New Testament church age. In the Old Testament, they knew about God the Father, and they had some prophecies about the Messiah. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus has come to earth. He walks the earth as incarnate deity. He's God in a flesh body. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He had to eat and drink. When he got tired, he slept. When you pierced him, he bled. Jesus went away so that the Comforter can come. And Pentecost marks the day that that Comforter arrives, drawing people to the Holy Spirit, leading us into knowledge, giving us power and authority over principalities and evil spirits. The Holy Spirit makes what we do in Christ possible. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8:11. We're going to wrap it up with that. Let's pray together. Look forward to sharing with you the rest of Peter's sermon next week. Lord, we thank You for this day that You have made. I thank You for the opportunity to reach out from this place. We're not gathered together. We're not all together in one place. But Lord, I'm thankful that people can hear the sound of my voice. Lord, I'm thankful for church members and family members that can reach people that I have no chance or opportunity to witness to or to reach. Lord, I'm thankful for the internet that can take this gospel message across the country and around the world. Lord, we pray for every single person that has the opportunity and the occasion to listen to the gospel, whether it's preached by me or someone else, and share good news with a lost and dying world that very badly needs to hear good news. Lord, we look forward to the day that we can open the doors of our churches and meet together again safely. We pray for the entire world. Lord, we pray for our nation right now because of the pandemic and everything that is going on. Lord, it is our desire to love You and to love other people enough that we choose to share the gospel. Let us be deliberate and intentional about putting on Christ and sharing the gospel message when we're given a voice, when we're given a platform, instead of wasting our opportunities and talking about something else. Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings. We ask that You would touch, use, and bless. We pray together now at this time. Amen.